You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. We're going to be praying the Spirit for a little while, but I want to open up your heart again in the scripture, so a few minutes, about the glory of praying in tongues. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So anytime you determine in your heart that you want to spend more time with God in prayer, one of the things the devil does is to test the strength of your theology, to test the strength of what you are doing, whether if you know that what you are doing is biblical, is of God. Have you ever been in prayer and lift your voice, you are praying, you hear something tell that, are you sure God isn't hearing? Have you ever had that kind of thing? And then you feel so discouraged, you stop praying, like, what are you wasting that time for? I've had that before. Yeah. That you want to spend some time, like, oh, today I want to pray for the body of Christ. Then that is when you now remember that, I should have sent a message to Equia. And then you start typing, before you are do it in 1 hour's time. Hallelujah. There are times you want to pray, say, no, I've heard that praying the Spirit will help me. And then you begin, and it's like, that just for that day, after like 30 minutes, 1 hour, it's like you're useless. You don't feel anything. You don't sense anything happening. It's just there. The Lord laid in my heart this week that there is no how anybody spends time in my presence that is wasted. It's like when you go to the gym and you are lifting weights, you don't feel you are reducing. You don't feel things are growing. You don't feel it. What you feel is the pain of lifting that weight. But as to the formation of the six packs and things, you will see. They will have to say, like I saw Eugene. I said, why this push-ups is working? Because I noticed that all of a sudden it's showing. And this side of his muscles are looking different. It looked toned. You can tell. But I'm not sure that, I'm sure that when he was lifting the weight or in the gym, he's looking at a mirror. I see showing. It's like a farmer who goes to sow, puts the seed in the ground, and then goes after 1 hour to check, is it growing? You get the whole idea? Yeah, you don't do that. You put it there and you leave it. It must die. If it doesn't die, it doesn't come out. So when you are doing this spiritual exercise, you don't feel. Children feel. They're waiting for feeling to continue. Sons don't need feeling. They need faith. Are you with me? When you get praying and then you realize that you are waiting for feeling to feel and for the feeling to help you to go far, you will not do it. It makes you a child. But what do sons do? Their father told them, building up your most holy faith, praying the Spirit, that you make tremendous power available in prayer. That's all the son needs. If my father said so, that is it. So I don't have to feel. I'm a bona fide child who is in the presence of my father, and I cannot be the same when I'm done. That's all I know. So if I get into prayer and Ambara, Kashada, Manaka, Tabara, Kataba, and it's one syllable that is coming out, I know I'm not wasting my time. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I just want to take you through a few scriptures, because yesterday I stumbled on a young man. He was a drummer. He's a drummer. He's very calculated when he's playing drums. And I noticed he has a page that I saw an article that he was insulting Reverend Isuanaba, that he's demonic. He's not a believer. And began to show scriptures that these are all lost men of God. And pick Professor Akodia, pick Archbishop Duncan Williams, pick Otabel, and say, all these guys are charlatans. And he's quoting scriptures upon scripture, upon scripture, upon scripture. Anyone that tries to say, bro, calm down. So calm down for this life and death issue. And he's so convinced, hey, there's nothing as dangerous as wrongly indoctrinated. It's very dangerous. And so I decided to go to his page, and my God, he says the praying the spirit is no longer, in theology they call them cessationists, that the outpouring of the spirit of God ended in the Acts chapter 2. So there's no longer outpouring of the spirit, and there are no gifts of the spirit again. And he said it in his article. Gwen, you know what I'm talking about. Do you know that about him? He needs to be helped. And he stated there clearly, he says that charismatism is devilish. So that means all of you city are going to hell. Now, here you are that you have not delved into scripture. So defy yourself in what you believe. If somebody sits with you now and opens from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and shows you scriptures of what he believes, you will turn back. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The guy has scriptures and you will see it right from Genesis, one after the other. But here you are sitting here right now. All of us sitting here. If I were to tell you, just give me 5 verses in the scripture that makes you know without doubt that speaking in tongues is of God, you may not be able to produce it. You think it's not needed. But when you meet someone that will challenge what you think you believe with the scriptures, you have confused mind. How will you know? When you get back to prayer, when you come to church, we are praying in tongues, you'll be quiet. Now, that is the issue with us in the church. We don't see why there's a need to invest in the scriptures. So Paul the Apostle is writing a 6-chapter letter in our context. Because in their days, it was only in chapters. But in our context, in our discussion right now, that's what we have. So I'm talking that way. So Paul is writing 6-chapter letter to the church in Ephesus. The first 3 chapters is doctrine. Theory. The last 3 chapters is practicals. Why? If it's not in the head, it can't be in the work. So somebody comes to tell you, are you sure you're born again? They're like, I'm born again. He said, prove it. I know that I'm born again. So what shows in the Bible born again? I feel it. Are you with me? I feel it. That is why when things are not going on well, you now begin to ask yourself, am I really born again? The fact that challenges made you question your faith means your faith has no foundation yet. You have not dig deep into what you are. Please, are you with me? Are you here with me at all? The day you catch revelation about the mystery of smiling, nobody will encourage you to smile. No, I'm serious. Whatever you don't do freely, you have not caught the insight yet. When church coming is a burden, you have not gone to the Bible to find out and solidify it that there's something about it. The reason I don't doze in church, no matter how tired I am, the reason, I saw it in scriptures that as soon as we gather, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Mount Zion, city of the living God. That there are angels that can be counted here. So as I'm seeing, we are sitting here now. Those empty space are filled. That's how I see it. Because the Bible said so. It now said that out of Zion shall come forth saviors. So if I came here a victim, when I'm leaving, I must go as a savior. Now no one who wants to be changed doses in such an environment. Are you with me? Bible says they move from strength to strength. Everyone appearing before God in Zion. It means that I've come to a place where my strength must be increased. Must I doze? I am told that upon this mountain shall the law of God be given. So when we gather as saints, 1 John tells us that the fellowship we are having right now is not just with one another, but it's with us and our Father, and that the blood of sprinkling. So no matter what sin I commit, I will rush to church because there's blood that sanctifies. I get my point here. But if you right now go and do something that I will do, we start calling you, won't come. Because there is no doctrine, there's no word that's established in you what this gathering means. Are you here with me? It's like you've not dug deep into understanding God's perspective of marriage. And then you are now solidifying your understanding of marriage based on movies. You will shake in marriage. Are you with me? Like you are here and in your heart. When it's my husband's money, it's our money. When it's my money, it's my own personal money. Which scripture is that? What a man can do, a woman can do. Show me the scripture. And anything that we do that contradicts the order of God's word destroys our lives. I want you to understand what I'm talking about here. Are you here with me? Do you see why you must study God's word? You must read his word. Because I was thinking about this young man, that how can the Spirit of God give you insight into what you think is true, and it makes you disrespect elders and call them by their first name? The same God that said that, children, honor your father and mother, has so filled you that you are calling people who have labored in the vineyard of God for us to have the peace of mind to grow in the faith in this generation. Call them by first name. You are charlatan. I know the stupid part of it. Anyone that questions him, he's angry. That don't attack my person. But you are attacking the person of somebody else. So you see, when you are not walking the wisdom of God and the inspiration of the Spirit of God, you are partial in everything. But true revelation is total. Are you following the will of God? Any day you come to a point where you think that you have come to a place where you can correct your pastor by calling Isaiah, you are fake. If you can show me in the scripture where Jesus Christ grew in revelation, where he told the Father, Father, you are lying. You don't even know what you're talking about. That's the day I'll believe what you're doing. Number two, anyone, any church that feels that their church is the right one, every other person is wrong, is a cult. That when you see others going to church, what church you go to? Dominion Chapel. That one man church. Who's your pastor? It's Pastor Isaiah. That musician. What does he know? He's always to sing. What is he teaching there? All these musicians that have come, almost like animals, has their church. And the person does not even know you have pastored longer than singing. They don't care. They're hanging, that pastor. That who? Isaiah. That musician. What does he know? You'd be surprised. They are saying it. I get the point here. So I want to show you. I just want to bring scripture to you. Consider them. And then we'll get into praying the Spirit. So when you are praying the Spirit, you understand why I keep saying, don't pray in the Spirit and be holding your phone. Don't pray in the Spirit and be looking around. Is this so? I don't know. I don't care. We have prayed for long. It's already 20 minutes. It's staying too long. This girl to use her tongues. Since I've known this girl, since I came to this church, this seems to be shibiri shibiri. What's a shibiri shibiri? Then you are there. Then you see that instead of being strengthened, you are so tired after 1 hour. Irababa. Abedi about tongues. Are you here with me? Hallelujah. You ready to read scriptures? All right, Mark 16, 17. Let's go quickly. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Is it okay? Hallelujah. God is good. All right, can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, 4, go. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Some of the signs, what's going to happen to those that receive Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. Now go to Acts chapter number 2, verse 1 to 4. Let's go quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, it's there. Let's go now. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, listen carefully. The experience of the day is not a Pentecost. It's like saying, when the day of celebrating Christmas was up, it was on that day that the Holy Ghost came. You understand? What did I say? What did I say? Okay. So, in our context, Christmas is 25th, and then 26th is Boxing Day. So, real Christmas is 25th. So, imagine Jesus Christ saying, all of you sitting here, you need to tarry. And then we all come here 10 days to the time that we had an encounter. Then we are praying. Liberate. But they, oh, Father, this gift, receive. Then on 25th, that was the day the Holy Ghost came. Bah! So the person writing says, when the day of the Christmas, the day they celebrate Christmas, that day, the exact day, was when the Holy Ghost came. You understand? So Pentecost is talking about 50. It's talking about 5. So when it was full, when it was exactly 50 days, then after Passover, then that was the day. Hello? So actually, those that receive the Holy Ghost are not Pentecostals. Those celebrating Pentecost were not in the upper room. But the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Continue, sir. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Continue. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Mark 16, 17, it says that those that believe, my God. And one of the signs they were speaking what? Other tongues. Now, they are waiting because in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 49, it says, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Acts 1 verse 8, it said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then you shall be my witnesses. Now they are waiting. They are waiting in prayer for the promise of the Holy Ghost. And then the day he comes, he first fills the room. Then fills them. Because if he fills them without filling the room, they will die. God will always create the environment before the habitat. That's why he makes the sea before he makes the fish. He makes the sky before the sun and the moon. He doesn't create the sun before he now brings it to function. Background is important to God. He makes a garden and puts the man there. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So he fills the place with himself and then fills them. That's what's called baptism. Because baptism means you are totally immersed into. Do you get the point? Baptism is what? To be immersed, to be put into. So you take a glass. You take a glass, all right, dear? Take a glass of water, okay? And then you have a bowl of water. And then you dip the glass in it. So if you pick an empty glass and you pick a bowl full of water and you dip the glass into it, the glass will be filled and then surrounded in water. That's baptism.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, the special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.